everybody, and welcome. You're listening to the Leadership Focus, an internet radio show geared to everyday leadership, both at work and throughout your life. Each week, we present you with new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. I'm your host, Lisa Prosbjork, Executive Coach and CEO of Focus Coaching, a leadership coaching and training firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And tonight our topic is Rethinking the Food Chain, Upstart Company Local Orbit, and Technology Lead the Way. Our guest tonight is Erica Block. Erica is the founder and CEO of Local Orbit, a company which provides innovative, user-friendly ways to connect with independent growers of local food with those who use it. Previously, Erica co-founded and ran an entrepreneurial arts organization for 12 years, also raising $1.9 million, and led the renovation of a vacant building. Her awards include the Cranes Detroit Business 40 Under 40 Award and the 2010 GLEQ Spirit of Entrepreneurship Award. She has an MFA from Columbia and did graduate work in interactive technology at New York University. She describes herself as coming from a family of fruit peddlers, meat processors, restaurant owners, and wholesalers. Welcome, Erica.
Hi, Lisa. It's good to be on the show.
Hi. It's good to have you. You are such an interesting person, you know, looking at your background. Let's talk a little bit about local food. What attracted you to working in this space with local food?
Well, you know, I have always been a cook and a gardener and have actually grown quite a bit of my food. And in my previous life, I ran a theater company, and I started to do research on a piece about food called A History of Eating. And as I started to do research on this project, I was talking to people and realized there's some consistent needs and problems. And I thought about my understanding of interactive media and what was happening in the online space and thought, you know what, this is actually, there's a solution to this problem. So it began with a personal interest in food, growing up in a family of people in food businesses with lots of cooking. And as I started to research it, I thought, well, my technology interests nicely converge. And that's how Local Orbit was born.
Personal interest. So the problem, tell me more about the problem that you were trying to solve. Can you sort of describe what that is broadly?
Yeah, yes, I can. So the food system, especially since World War II in the West, in the United States, but in throughout the Western world, has become very centralized. So what you have is a smaller number of large companies, where it used to be that people got their food from sources much closer to home. And there were a lot of efficiencies around this, but we've gotten more and more disconnected from our food. And as a result, there's been a lot of, we don't know where our food comes from. There's very little transparency in the food system. So we may eat a hamburger, and the meat may come from many different farms, so you have no way to trace it. So one problem with that is that you run into food safety issues, and we know this from the recent egg scare. So that becomes problematic. And then what you also have is a number of smaller farmers, family farmers, independent food producers, people who want to do things in a traditional way, or artisan food producers, cheesemakers, or somebody who makes really beautiful jams for sale. And they have had a problem getting their products to market because the system is optimized for these large centralized supply chains. But as people have started to pay attention to what I'll call the provenance or the origin of their food, and as people have become more and more focused on nutrition and good taste and eating well, and at the same time we've started to pay attention to looking at keeping our communities healthy, not just in terms of personal health, but in terms of economic health, people have started to look to local food businesses and local farms as a way to increase the resources that stay within the community. So the problem still remains, if you want to buy food from a farmer or from a local cheesemaker, how do you get that food? And farmers markets are the most common way for that to happen, and you might find the occasional local store that sells these products. But it takes a lot of work, and there are limited options for you to find that product. So what Local Orbit is doing is building an online marketplace, or a set of marketplace tools, really, that enable people to link with their local farmers and food producers. And that can be individuals who want to shop. It can be chefs. It can be institutions such as schools or hospitals that are looking to source healthier food locally and also to keep money within their own community. So,
okay. So that's a nice broad answer. Yeah. So, you know, I everywhere from Martha Stewart to the local supermarket even, I see in their ads, they're advertising more and more, you know, here in this state, made in Michigan and grown locally and where things are grown. I'm just seeing more and more of it. And restaurants as well, especially higher-end restaurants, are really looking at that. Do you see this as a trend, and is it going to continue, and how big do you think this market is?
Well, I see it as a trend that is going to continue. I see it as a shift in the way people are looking at it, at where our food comes from and how we eat, and partly because it's being noticed and being promoted by the Martha Stewarts and Oprah Winfrey's and by the White House, there's an awareness of it, and then there's also celebrity chefs and people who are promoting it. But the reality is that it's still very hard for most chefs and most individuals to get sufficient supply. So you have restaurants that are very focused on and devote resources to sourcing locally, but there's no way to kind of have this happen in a sort of streamlined, efficient manner. There are people who have to spend a lot of time on the phone, going to markets, faxes, going to meetings, networking events, which is great if you have the time to do that. The problem is that most people don't have the time, or businesses don't have the resources to devote to it. So, I think this is a fundamental shift. There are barriers to increasing the access that people have to this kind of food, and there's a greater awareness and an understanding of the value of this way of eating and this way of purchasing food, but it's still a lot easier to go to the grocery store. And so the key is, how do you make it easier for people who want to do this to be able to purchase food locally? And in any business sector, most businesses have been revolutionized by the communications tools provided by the internet, in terms of e-commerce, in terms of the marketing, in terms of simple things like inventory management for businesses. And the local food sector has not kept up with the evolution of technology for a variety of reasons. And I think by providing the same kind of tools, the same kind of business infrastructure for local food producers or regional food producers, then their businesses will be more sustainable, and this will actually be able to continue to grow and reach more and more people. So it's not just the foodies or the people who are very, you know, focused on protecting the environment. It's people everybody who cares about these things, but maybe too busy because they've got kids in school and two people working at home, will have access to it in a more convenient way without losing the local identity of the food. And, you know, I wanted to go back to how Local Orbit works. So Local Orbit doesn't go into every community. And we don't go into the community and say, here's a Local Orbit site for you to link with your farmers. There are hundreds of people and organizations around the country who are working to improve local food distribution. There are farmers co-ops. There are universities that are buying food for hospitals and for their dormitories. There are other institutions that are looking at ways to keep dollars within communities. There are nonprofit social service agencies. There are economic development groups, and there are entrepreneurs who are already working and interested in increasing the availability of local food, local and regional produced food. They don't all have access to these tools that I had mentioned that other industries have access to. So what we do is we provide a set of tools so that if you, say you, Lisa, wanted to work with a group of farmers to sell in your mm-hmm. region, maybe even set up a buying club among your friends, we could set up a local orbit site for you. You could say, you know, lisa.localorbit.
Mm-hmm.
And you could invite farmers and food producers that you know in your community to list their products, and you can invite people that you know to purchase and then have a drop-off point once a week. So that would be one way that you could use this system, and there's no cost to set it up. You just sort of you talk through how you want it to work. I want delivery on Fridays. I want to be able to purchase both retail prices and in bulk purchases with wholesale prices. I want to make it open to any producer in my area, or I want to be able to select and approve the producers. I want to have some wholesale customers as well as some retail customers. So we work with people to think through their needs, and then within a couple of days, once we know what those needs are, we can have a site that enables you to get up and running. Yeah, and you're responsible for doing the work of bringing people together in your community, but we support that with online marketing, social media information through our site. Mm-hmm. And then what you have is a really simple process where every week the farmers will say, this is what I've got for sale, and then you can order from, say, 5 or 10 or 20 different farmers in a single shopping cart. We take one payment, and then we make sure that the money goes to all the right people. And we give people what's called a pick list, so a producer knows exactly mm-hmm. what they have to pick to deliver, and invoices and delivery information. There's a map on the site that says, here's where you go. And we send people all kinds of email reminders and say, here's your order. Don't forget to pick it up tomorrow, or don't forget to deliver. And then if anybody's got a problem, we're the customer service that you go to. So if somebody had a mistake with an order, or if there's a problem, if they're not happy with the quality, they call us, and we work within our system or with the producer to solve that problem. So all of the kind of business processes that are challenging in starting up a venture are what we take on, so that the people in the community who are working on the food systems issues, they deal with the relationship building, and then they'll deal with the physical transfer of the goods.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helpful.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that's very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my questions was, you know, what do you do differently, and what's better? Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about my own situation, and I feel, I guess, more than a little bit guilty. I'd like to use more local food. We have mm-hmm. a fabulous farmer's market here. But I don't often have the chunk of time. Of course, Wednesdays are never an option because I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday mornings, I don't often have the chunk of time to spend what would in essence be my whole day Saturday to go to the grocery store to get, you know, all my grocery store kind of stuff, and then go to the farmer's market in the morning and take the morning to do that, and then maybe go somewhere else to get, you know, a meat market or something. I don't know. You know, it's just, it's a time thing, and
mm-hmm.
I can see this kind of system making it much easier. And I guess I'm surprised and really pleased to hear how accessible it would be to an individual user, because I was thinking more of it in terms of, oh, institutions, big restaurants that would buy a lot of stuff rather than a family or a group of families. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, as long as there are enough people with groups of families, or say you've got 100 people
mm-hmm.
buying, you can create, if there's regular buying, then there it makes it worthwhile for a farmer to do a single mm-hmm. delivery. So that, I mean, I think that's
yeah.
it. You do have to sort of look at the community, and the numbers of users varies according to the nature of their
mm-hmm.
purchases. And then, you know, for larger wholesale purchasers or restaurants with sufficient volume, then the producer or get somebody to deliver it for them right to the restaurant. So either they can deliver themselves or
mm-hmm.
they can work with co-delivery. So I mean, the idea is that across the country, there are so many different communities, even though there are common communications and infrastructure needs, that every community has different distances, different relationships, different kinds of producers. So we've designed this to be flexible enough to adapt to each particular region's needs. We aren't trying to say you have to fit in this template. We have certain restrictions, but there's enough customization possible that gives us that flexibility. And then, of course, you know, the people, if you decided you wanted to start this, it would take you some time building the relationships and finding
mm-hmm.
the producers that you thought did a good job. But there are lots of people that are doing it. There's such an interest in this. And every day we get some query or some opportunity for a new partnership that we, you know, as we grow this. And right now we're still in our pilot phase, so we're going very slowly over the first year just to make sure the system
mm-hmm.
works well, to build best practices, to be able to have a solid foundation before we scale.
Yeah. Let's take a little break here and let people know who we are and what we're doing. Can you hang on just for a second?
Sure.
If you're just joining us now, you're listening to the Leadership Focus Radio Show. You can listen to us live on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern or download the show to listen later. I'm your host, Lisa Pasbjord, and tonight we're talking with Erica Block about rethinking the food chain, local food, and her company, her innovative new company, Local Orbit. So, Erica, coming back, what are some reasons to go local? I know there are a lot. I did a little research, but what are some of the major ones?
Well, you know, I always like to know where my food comes from. I like to know that there's a particular producer who's responsible for that, and it didn't pass through too many hands. So I know that I get it when it's fresh, and I can trace it. If there's a problem, I can go back to the source. So to me, that's a very important reason. Another significant reason is that the value of money that I spend locally, whether it's to a local shop or to a local producer, more of that money stays in the community than if I were to go to a national chain or buy from somebody who's headquartered out of state, because I spend my money at my local shop. They're hiring people in the community. They're using business services in the community. There's more tax that goes back into the community. So all of a sudden, the economic impact of my choice to spend locally is amplified. And I think it's important, to think about how we want the land around us to remain. I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
only so much development that can happen, and one way to keep open spaces is to provide not just for parks or undeveloped lands with forests, but it's also to have farmland and good farmers who practice sustainable growing, who have sustainable growing practices, are also conservationists. Their livelihood is dependent on keeping the soil healthy and the water and the ecosystem around them healthy. So we're also preserving land and providing employment for people. So if you've got a farm that can employ more and more people. And so I think it's a combination of things. And then, you know, I know you and I have talked about this, is food that you get that's fresher, it tastes better. If
yeah,
you don't have to ship
a lot.
The product, yeah, a lot better. I mean, think about a tomato in the winter versus a tomato that you pick up in the summer, whether it's from your garden or from a market. And the other thing that's interesting that people don't think about, there are varieties of produce, particularly, that you can get from a local grower that can't be grown effectively by the sort of large, big agribusiness because they don't travel well. So you can get beautiful yellow raspberries. I have this Queen Anne raspberry that I grow, but that I've seen. You can't get that in a supermarket because it's going to take weeks for it to get to you. Or there are certain kinds of tomatoes that are much more delicate. So you also get this greater range of products.
Right.
So lots of reasons like that. You get the story. We like to eat.
Yeah.
We don't just eat to fill our bellies or to give ourselves the vitamins. I mean, that's a part of it. But we eat because it's a sort of it's a sensual experience, and all of our senses are affected. And part of that is also getting to know the story behind the food, which is something that we actually focus on. If you find a product listing, you're going to find out who grows it. You're going to learn a little bit about the producer. You're going to learn how they grow it. And they might tell you, this is how we cook it in our family. So that's a big part of it, or how did they come upon this recipe. Those are the kinds of things that I think really add to the experience.
Yeah, there's a bunch of reasons.
Yeah.
Certainly in Michigan and other, you know, really depressed economies, that whole piece about supporting jobs locally and keeping money in the community is huge as well.
Yeah.
I went online and I went to. We're gonna decide who's gonna talk. You talk.
I'm gonna say really quickly that in Michigan, that agriculture has been the only like really growth industry over the last couple of years in the face of everything else. So there's a tremendous amount of opportunity, and there's a huge. You asked me earlier about the size of the market. So if we look at just retail and wholesale sales, the kind of sales that like a restaurant or institution would buy or a school, you're looking at over $500 billion a year in terms of the kind of dollars.
Wow.
So one of the things that we talk about is if we as a country were to shift to 5% local, which isn't that difficult to do, but it requires more awareness and more tools. It is easy. So 5% is $25 billion a year of economic activity among local producers and local food systems. So the impact is enormous, and the benefit to communities and the provision of jobs, it's huge. And if you can do that in a diversified manner so that the revenue is spread out among lots of smaller businesses, that actually over time is more stable than having it concentrated in a few big businesses, because if one of those big businesses decides to pull out or doesn't do well, there's a big gaping hole. Whereas if you've got 100 small businesses and you lose 10% of them, there's still 90% of them going. I mean, it's the way people think about investing. You have a diversified portfolio. It's the same thing. So that's really important in terms of, you know, what do you want to bank on in terms of health and economies?
Yeah.
So what were you
going to
say?
That's okay. I went online, did a little research in advance of this, and I went to something called the eatlocalchallenge.com, and they had 10 reasons to eat local food, some of which you've mentioned. But there are a couple that really surprised me. And I wonder if these surprise you. One is it protects against bioterrorism, which I hadn't thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was that it's better than eating organic from a nutrient standpoint.
That
surprised me, too.
Well, you know, I have to say that it is, in terms of if you get something that doesn't have to travel very far, where
sure.
if you get something organic that was produced in California, food loses its nutritional value as it ages. So that's
right.
Straightforward. I mean, you know, there's a scale of things. If you have a choice, get something that's local and organic or sustainably produced. It doesn't necessarily have to be certified organic, but know the growing practices. And then if not, then maybe you do local. And then if you have to get something that comes from a longer distance, then you do want organic because it's better for the environment and for your body. So that's kind of the scale that I use. Now, bioterrorism is really interesting. And actually, I've had a number of people say, you know, this is a homeland security business. This fits in that category because think about it. If you have centralized sources of grain or commodities or other food, and somebody wants to attack a vulnerable point, you could corrupt a large portion of the food system in a single through a single target. Whereas if it's localized, mm-hmm. you've got lots of targets again. You know, it's the same. I'm a we talk about computer viruses. I'm a Mac user, and there are viruses, but there are far fewer viruses because there are mm-hmm. fewer users, and so there isn't as much incentive to create a virus for Macs as there is for Windows in terms of the impact, the bang for your buck. And similarly, there isn't as much incentive or impact if you were to target lots of little tiny food sources, which would be almost impossible.
Right.
So, and it's, you know, I would say that it's not a primary reason, but it certainly makes a lot of sense if that's a concern.
Same principle. So how does Local Orbit define local?
We have what I call a big tent view. So we typically define it within 300 miles or the same state. So it could be all within a state, even
mm-hmm.
if it's more than 300 miles, or it could be, you know, from that point where you are. But we also allow anybody who sets up a local orbit site to make their own decisions about what they want to define as local. And realistically, you want to be able to make sure that it's not too onerous for a producer to travel to bring you that food. So what's reasonable? 300 miles is a trip that's pretty reasonable to do in a day. You know, and theoretically, you can even do a round trip in a day. More likely, you're going to get stuff that's 150 miles or 100 miles, but it's open. It really depends, and it also depends on the region, because in some more rural areas, people are accustomed to traveling longer distances than they are, say, in the northeast part of the country where the population is much denser. So I think that, again, it's up to you, and one of the features that we'd like to add in the future is the ability to prioritize the distance that your food comes from. So if you say, I only want to mm-hmm. see stuff within my state, I only want to see stuff within a 50-mile radius, then we will be able to help you to just make it easier.
In that way.
Exactly. I mean, and there's a number of things you can do over time as part of the development process. And then, there's a lot of different issues. But I think that, again, we all have our own definitions, and what we want to do is create a tool that allows people to accommodate the needs and practices of their regions and communities.
Good. Well, believe it or not, we have about a minute left. But if you could see, it's gone fast. If you could see Local Orbit become wildly successful, what would it take for that to happen?
What it would take to happen is increasing the number of partners so we can expand the number of sites we're in. We have a goal to be in about 68 mm-hmm. different regions, to have 68 local orbit sites in the next 5 years. And along those lines, we're trying to raise money to enable us to build a staff and build these features that we started to talk about, and to have sort of greater penetration in the different markets. So that's really where we're at right now. We've got the concept. We've got a pilot, a model that's working, and we're sort of making that more robust. We've got a good small core team. We've got some really excellent partners on board, and now we need to have the funding to allow us to scale that and to build it out as an organization.
Good. And I know you've raised quite a bit of funding already yourself. Can you give us really quickly the website so people can reach you if they need to find a website?
You can find us on localorb.it. That's local, localorb, as in boy, .it, or localorbit.com will get you there. And you can also find me on Twitter at localorbit, and that will take you. And Facebook, our Facebook page is also Facebook/localorbit. So any of those ways, you will find a way to us, and I appreciate any input, and anybody who wants to continue the conversation or if you have questions, we're very accessible and easy to reach.
Wonderful. Thanks, Erica.
Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us tonight on The Leadership Focus, the show which gives you new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please go to blogtalkradio.com and become a friend and make us a favorite. To sign up for our free newsletter with more tips and strategies you can use, go to focuscoaching.net on the web. Until next time, this is your host, Lisa Posbjorg, urging you to be a better leader every day.